also welcome those who are listening to the recording of this service. We affirm the diversity of our community, represented in age, gender, sexuality, culture, and ability. We affirm that all people are welcome and trust that you will find this to be a safe place for you to grow in God's love and the experience of a whole community. As we gather, we remember the original custodians of this land, the Wadawurrung, and ask for God's grace to join with them in being good stewards of this land, its waters, and diverse communities. And as a church, we are loving God, growing together, partnering community, and sharing faith. Now, this past week has been NAIDOC Week. NAIDOC is an acronym for National, Aboriginal, and Islander Day Observance Committee. NAIDOC Week celebrates the history, culture, and achievements of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. NAIDOC Week is a great opportunity to learn more about Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities. It is a week-long event taking place from the first Sunday in July to the following Sunday. So it actually goes for 8 days, and it started a week ago on Sunday. National awards are presented at the National NAIDOC Week Awards Ceremony. The awards are presented to inspirational Indigenous people in 10 different categories, including Person of the Year, Elder of the Year, Artist of the Year, Apprentice of the Year, Scholar of the Year, Youth of the Year, Sportsperson of the Year, and the Caring for Country Award. The theme for NAIDOC 2021, and they have a different theme every year, this year's theme is Heal Country. The theme calls on all of us to continue the work of our ancestors in caring for and protecting the country that sustains us. Now to the notices. It's very important that we read the pew sheet and the June monthly in order for us to be aware of what is happening at our church. So please make sure that you read them. If you get them on in your emails, please read them. Just a gentle reminder that COVID restrictions are still in place. Thank you to all who have helped be COVID safe here at church by wearing a mask, checking in or using the QR code, or by signing in on your arrival at church, hand sanitizing, and sitting 1.5 meters from those not in your household. Check, please. At this stage, we are required to carry a mask at all times and to wear it inside, even when we are singing. That's mandatory at the moment. Now, a note from Linda Scott and Melinda Bell. They are the secretary and chairperson of the congregational meeting. Nominations for church council are due in today. It is our responsibility as a congregation, that means all of us, it is our responsibility to seek people that we feel would be suited to the calling of church councillors. That has to be in by today. I'd say midnight tonight would be fine. Okay? The children and family. volunteers are needed for the playgroups. Now the idea is that the playgroups, being a church initiative, will remain a church initiative. And in order for that to happen, we would like to have maybe one or two church representatives at every playgroup. So the parents will organize the playgroup, but we just need somebody from the church there, sort of a liaison person or persons. So if you think you can spare a couple of hours every so now and again, would you please see me or Bruce, and we will put you on the roster. The more the merrier. Thank you so much for that. Now there's an important message from Jeff, and please don't worry about this. It's an important notice for all of our congregation who make their offerings via direct debit through UEthical, the investment group of the Uniting Church in Victoria. By now you should have received advice that all direct debits arranged through UEthical will cease on the 31st of July. That's the end of this month. It will cease. After this date, no further amounts will be withdrawn from your bank accounts. Now there is a letter from our treasurer to each person or family affected by this change on the surgery at the back of the church, just where Joan is at the moment. It details what you will need to do before the 31st of July to continue direct debit your offering to God through this church. Jeff has set it out quite clearly in that letter. If you did not receive your letter on the way in, please make sure you collect it before you leave. I think that's it for the notes. Sorry.
Just about the playgroup, there's another possibility, of course, and that is that someone might say, gee, I'd really like to do the playgroup. So if anybody feels brilliantly inspired to take on playgroup and build a team around it, that's another possibility. But at the moment, what we need, if it's going to keep going, is what Phil said. The other thing is Messy Church. We had a Messy Church meeting the other day. We decided we're going to keep Messy Church going, the team that's been working with Karen on Messy Church. And our next Messy Church is going to be all about caring for our beautiful planet, caring for our environment, about the growth that God gives, and working with God to look after it. And for that, one of the things we're going to be doing is making some bug hotels. Now, there's lots of clever ways of doing that if you cut up bits of wood, but there's a lot of work in that. I just didn't have the time or the timber in the shed to do it. But I found this idea, and I let our team have a look at that. And what it means is you need things like really large plastic bottles. So we're recycling plastic bottles. And we need things to stick in the plastic bottles. So if you could give us some large plastic bottles or milk containers, it doesn't have to be any particular shape. If you can give them to me, I'm going to amass them. And bits and pieces, there's, you know, things to stick inside them. The bugs will just say, oh, that's a nice home. And so we encourage the insect life in our gardens. Please? Yes?
What a great idea. Thank you, Bruce. We'll now have a moment's silence. Sorry, yes. I have mentioned it in our prayers, but I thank you.
I thought you might have been mentioned for everybody who hasn't read the notice yet. I have to write it later.
Okay. Sorry about that.
knowledge on ice and knowledge on fire. And it was talking about the idea that sometimes in Christianity you can get to be knowledge on ice. You know, we know about God, we know about this, we know about what we ought to do, we know what our understanding of the presence of God is. But knowledge on fire is a different thing. And when you think of the images of Pentecost, they're all about fire. And it's a really interesting image because it's something alive and burning and something that gives energy and drive and warmth and heat and life. So thinking today about knowledge on fire rather than knowledge on ice. But then what do you do with it? How does it go? I'm wanting to think this morning about knowledge on fire, but also about how we make choices. How do we decide which way we're going to go? How do we decide what our faith is calling us to do? It's not easy, is it? It's always complicated. So I've got a little song to sing to you. You're going to remember this one, David. This is my mate David. We used to play in band together about 45 years ago. It was about 40 years ago. Yeah.
your Spirit, you call us, Lord, to love this astounding creation in all of its innumerable diversities. Through your Son, you show us that we're to be your sign and agent of your life-giving compassion. And by the power of your Spirit, you draw us into your universal passion to heal and renew and restore. Give us of life and hope wherever you take or send us. Forgive us, we ask, Lord, for those times when we've reduced this call to a belief system and imagined it is for us, when we fail to remember we're agents of your ongoing creative hand on our world. March us to a different drum, Lord, so we might truly be Christ's ones. Amen. Phil's going to read to us the scripture of this morning. Thanks.
The scripture reading is from the Gospel of Mark in chapter 6 and from verse 14 to verse 29, the death of John the Baptist. This is the introduction to the passage. Just before the passage we are going to consider this morning, Mark describes how Jesus has sent his disciples out on a teaching and healing mission throughout the countryside, and it was being spectacularly successful, something of a sensation in the public eye. We now continue from verse 14 as Mark describes the tragedy of Herod's execution of John the Baptist. Verse 14. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason, these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah, and others said, it is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? She replied, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptizer on a platter. The king was deeply grieved. Yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl.
say thanks be to God after the reading, doesn't it? Especially when you've heard one like this. There's a whole heap of history and stuff that sits in here with Salome's dance and Herod and the horrible things he used to do. And I don't want to go into them because I want to focus in a different direction. And we'll just have a moment of quiet. Lord, help us as we think about this reading to understand what you call us to be and do in our world today. By your Spirit, search our hearts and put a bit of fire in there, we pray. Amen. When you think about it, when Mary found out that she was pregnant, first thing she did was she went to her cousin Elizabeth up in the hill country. Now, what does that tell you?
Mark puts in this story about John the Baptist
his death at the hands of Herod for the sake of an erotic dance. Now bear that in mind. What is Mark doing? That he tells the story of the disciples going out, tells the story of John the Baptist being so brutally and unjustly killed, and then tells the story of the disciples coming back. What's Mark up to? Because Mark doesn't do things for fun. He's got a purpose in his writing. I want to read to you what Mark says immediately after this story that Velma read to us. The apostles gathered around Jesus. They told him all that they'd done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." That's the Eremos Topos I've mentioned here before. The desert place, the place where you encounter God, the place where Jesus went for the temptations in the wilderness, runs through Mark's gospel. "Come away by yourselves and rest for a while," for there were many coming and going and they had no leisure even to eat. "And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them. They hurried there, they saw where the boat was heading, they hurried there on foot from all the towns, and they arrived there ahead of them. And as he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." Okay. When you and I get hit by something that's really unjust, something that is threatening to us, and that's certainly threatening to Jesus because it's happened to John, it can just as quickly and easily happen to him. When we get hit by stuff from our world around us that either gets at us because we're angry for someone else, or we're angry for ourselves, or we're scared for someone else, or we're scared for ourselves, the initial response of any human being is to in some way mimic what's happened. Someone comes at us with aggression, we come back with aggression. Somebody comes at us with something that's wrong, we get angry about the wrong, we want to fix it. So much of the time, what we do instinctively mirrors the world around us, doesn't it? This is life. This is the way we are. We're not knowledge on ice, we're knowledge on fire. And what Jesus does time and time and time again is he resets, but he resets his actions, his attitudes, his directions, not by what's going on around him, but by the mission that God's got for him that sits stronger, bigger, larger, cosmic, not tied to this moment, but tied to eternity, not tied to the individual, but tied to the whole of God's creation. And he resets and he moves and acts and speaks by that drum. So when he comes back, this noise has come back with him. Herod, John beheaded for the sake of an erotic dance of a teenager. And Jesus' response is, "Come away. Quiet place. Reset yourself." And his response is to go back into the world, healing, touching, teaching, loving with the love of God. I find that a bit challenging. Just a little bit. Because I look at myself and I know that I don't always do it. I know that sometimes I don't move from the foundation and impetus of God's cosmic, eternal, unbustable love for every person I meet, for the world around me. sometimes I operate out of what's good for Bruce, or what's scary for Bruce, or how Bruce is feeling. And I find what that little passage terribly challenging. How do I do this? How do I let the thing which drives my actions, my motivations, my thinking, be attuned to the tune of God's grace, love, compassion, so that what I do doesn't reflect, mirror, echo, and play the tune of the world around me, but reflects, mirrors, echoes, and plays the tune of Christ's love for me. That's what I want to leave you with today. Let's pray.
Lord, help us to move to a different drum. Help us to reset whenever we need to. Help us to be moved by knowledge on fire in our hearts and in the world around us that you love so much and have called us to be your love. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I think you'll get the meaning of this song.
and we pray especially for his family and friends. We pray for the people of the world, and especially New South Wales, where the number of COVID-infected people is increasing. Anoint them with your healing grace. We thank you for the resources that we have in Australia, and pray that we will continue to share these with others. Loving Creator God, we rejoice in the beauty of this ancient land and her waters. We marvel at the awesome way they have been formed. We give thanks for her First Nations peoples, their stories of creation sung by countless ancestors. We pray for your healing of this land and her peoples. We pray that love will make a new way, a harmony way, the way of Jesus. Holy God, today we are grateful and we celebrate this nation's true history, beginning long before time. Lord, we pray the blessing of Uncle Vince Ross on each of us. May the God of creation warm your heart like the campfires of old. Bring wisdom and peace as shown to the first peoples of this land. Shake off the dust from the desert plains by the refreshing rains, followed by the glow and warmth of the sun. Let the light of God show us the right path and stand tall like the big river gums, drawing life from the ever-flowing waters. Together we will now pray the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.